Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored.
Hey parents, we all know summer break is for fun, but it's also a time when kids can start losing some of the progress they made during the school year. We want them to stay engaged and keep those young minds active. Between camps, vacations, and family time, it can be tough to keep a learning routine going. That's why I want to tell you about IXL. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. From pre-K through 12th grade, IXL offers personalized interactive learning that adapts to each child's level and pace. It's an easy way to keep learning going through the summer and helps kids feel confident heading into the next school year. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. And get this, IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. That's a huge endorsement. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Today on the Illini Inquirer podcast, we catch up with our guy, Ryan Easterling. Been around Illini Inquirer for a really long time, covered Illinois football recruiting and in-state recruiting for a really long time as well. So we catch up with Ryan to chat about Illinois getting an in-state infusion in this class of 2027 in recruiting, as they have added three in-state commitments over the last week. They now have four commitments in the class of 2027, all from in-state. Three of them are top 20 prospects, according to 24/7 Sports in the state of Illinois. So we catch up with Ryan about Mason Holloman out of Lincoln Way East, the offensive lineman, Morton offensive lineman, Soren Pfeiffer, and St. Lawrence linebacker, Sean Rice, all Big Ten recruiting wins for the Illini. We kind of go over the history of Illinois in-state recruiting, and then Ryan breaks down, as he does so well, the film and what they could bring to the program in the long term. We also talk about some other in-state prospects out there, a quarterback prospect Illinois is going after and then starting to heat up a little bit, and we talk a little JUCO recruiting as well, and I give Ryan the floor to talk a little bit about the 2026 season for Illinois football as well. So, coming up next, Ryan Easterling breaks down some in-state Illini football recruiting on the Illini Inquirer podcast. All right, as a White Sox fan, I am clearly a fan of Munetaka Murakami. He continues to smash the ball early in the spring, leading Major League Baseball in home runs. The other thing I loved about him was when he signed with the White Sox, he said, "Hey, why don't you have a bidet in the clubhouse here?" And after trying out the Tushy bidet, I'm all about it. Murakami is right, because a Tushy bidet transforms your bathroom wellness for life. Gut to butt to bowl, soothe your bottom with instantly warm water that never runs cold. 99% of people who wash with Tushy warm water bidets feel cleaner and fresher after going to the bathroom. I installed this, guys. It took me about 15 minutes. I know nothing about plumbing. It was easy. Put it in my downstairs bathroom. Yes, that's where I go for my time when I go, and I feel clean. And that's why you got to try out this Tushy bidet. Instead of wiping endlessly with toilet paper, Tushy pristinely removes 99% of bacteria while protecting your natural skin barrier thanks to one natural ingredient. That's just fresh water. Installation is simple. Takes about 10-15 minutes to complete. Literally anyone, including me, can do it. So if you're not Team Tushy, you're not Team Clean, and for a limited time, our listeners get 10% off their first bidet order when you use code Illini at checkout. That's 10% off your first bidet order at HelloTushy.com with promo code Illini. Again, 10% off your first bidet order at HelloTushy.com with promo code Illini.
Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, let's welcome in our guy, Ryan Easterling, Illini Inquirer, been covering the Illini football recruiting stuff for a really, really long time. Ryan, we haven't had you on in a while. We haven't had a reason, but here we go. It's picking up a little bit for Illinois.
Took a little bit of a hibernation period, but I got on a couple flights this past week. Some stuff happened, as it tends to happen, and Illinois picked up a trio of commitments past week.
Do we know when that started, when the Ryan Easterling getting on a flight automatically led to a commitment?
So it's been a few years, because I think one of the first ones I can remember off the top of my head was I was running down the runway in like North Dakota or Montana somewhere, and Tyler Strain committed. So it's been a solid few years. It might predate COVID.
That was the COVID class. I remember, because I went and saw all those Florida guys, including Jake Hansen was a part of it. Pat Bryant was a part of it. No, it wasn't Jake Hansen. It was Don Rosiak and Pat Bryant. But I got to see Jake Hansen's dad and his brother Lane there. But yeah, that was a while ago, 4 or 5 years ago. That was before.
It's still a thing.
Yeah, and it's still a thing. It's still happening. Well, you must have had a lot of flights this past week, huh?
Well, the funny thing was, yeah, so Illinois got one last Saturday, because I think that was Halliman.
Yeah.
And then they kind of left me hanging, because they got one Thursday, they got one Friday, and then I got on a plane on Saturday. So I think now they might be trolling me, but pretty good hit rate otherwise.
Yeah, pretty good hit rate. We got 3 prep commitments in 6 days, all from in-state, plus 2 JUCO signees. I wanted to start with the in-state recruiting and focus a lot on that, because you and I have seen a lot of ups and downs when it comes to in-state recruiting for Illinois football. And of course, when you're a struggling football program for most of that time, you're probably going to struggle to get the state's best prospects. But Zook recruited the state pretty dang well until his final couple classes. Then you get Beckman, who I think Beckman gave a great effort in-state, but just didn't win, and obviously could not match up to some of the Big Ten coaches at that time. Lovey really gave some a spark to in-state recruiting his first class. Landed a bunch of good players who helped the program, and then he just kind of pivoted, fired his director of recruiting at that time, who was an in-state guy, and then it was Josh Sternquist at the time, right, and pivots to more of this NFL model. Found some good players, but in-state recruiting just went in the toilet, most famously, infamously, not getting an in-state signee in the class of 2020. Then you get Bielma, who's absolutely thrown a bunch of effort into this from the day he was hired, Ryan, and it's paid off in 6 years, and we're not even done with this class yet. Bielema has 46 in-state prep prospects that he's added to the program. In the previous 5 under Lovey, you had 26, and Bielema is getting a lot of top 30 prospects, 27 of them so far. Lovey had 10 in his time here. So, Ryan, just what is your perspective on in-state recruiting over the last decade or so, and what Bielema has brought here?
Well, I'll say the same thing now that I said back then, and that's that wins will help in-state recruiting. And they've won more games. They've elevated the floor of Illinois football. You know, getting, 19 wins over the last 2 years makes that sell a hell of a lot easier. So when you're able to go out and sell success, it takes away some of the, previous narratives of, oh, why would you go to that program? They're not winning anything. But they stayed committed to it. Bielema said from the day he took the job that he was committed to recruiting inside the state of Illinois and keeping the best prospects home. And while it's been kind of a slow build, which, I mean, slow is probably the wrong word, but it's been a gradual build. That's probably the better word for it. They have started to recruit more and better in-state prospects. They're getting more of those top 20 to 25 guys. They're staying committed to recruiting the state of Illinois, maintaining relationships. Like Nate McNeil, who was one of their really important staffers, has great ties to the state of Illinois. Bielema himself, whenever he's permitted to, gets around and sees programs within the state of Illinois. Pat Ryan has been an invaluable piece on this staff in maintaining relationships with coaches around the state of Illinois. And so those things are starting to pay dividends. Now, you're always going to face challenges and competition against some of the best programs in the country, because Chicago and a lot of the rest of the state of Illinois produces great talent. And so why wouldn't those other programs try to recruit that state? So you're going to eventually have to continue to defend your home state turf against those programs. But I think the encouraging thing is, like you said, they're starting to land more and better prospects from the state of Illinois. And I see that continuing into the future if they keep this up.
Yeah, and you mentioned Nate McNeil, big in the Chicago area, recruits that area really, really well. And now that he can be on the road all the time, that really helps Illinois. Pat Ryan, he knows everybody in the state, but I think especially that Central Illinois, Iowa would come in and kind of find these downstate prospects. You know, obviously Jack Hockaday was one of those, but even like Oklahoma State would come in here and get Hunter Woodward from Illinois. It's like Illinois's got to win those guys in the backyard. It feels like Pat Ryan's in on most of those under the radar in-state guys. And then Terry Hawthorne down in the Metro East area. I mean, he built the staff, Bielema did, with that in mind of making sure no stone gets unturned in the state. So he's done a really good job of that. But like you said, right, like they're landing a lot of those prospects and beating schools like Iowa, Northwestern, right? Some of these other Big Ten schools, Minnesota used to come into this state and steal a lot of prospects. That's been harder for them in the Bielema era. What it is hard to do is beat Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan, Notre Dame. It is still really hard to beat those power programs, for especially these kids that are Chicago Catholic League kids, big time prospects in the Chicagoland area. Illinois is making inroads there, but it's still a little bit harder to land those, and probably even down in the St. Louis area, right? to land some of the kids who grow up watching SEC football.
Yeah, I mean, it's always tough to compete against blue bloods and big money, especially in the NIL era. Bielema's been vocal about it. I mean, Illinois, everyone has this misnomer that Illinois is not an NIL program. It's just, I think they prioritize their NIL funds differently. You know, they put it more towards retention, towards proven production. You know, I think they're probably steward their NIL funds about as well as anybody. But when you talk about going up against programs like an Ohio State, a Michigan, where donors are willing to fork over significant chunks of change to field some super team, you got to be smart about how you play it. And I think they've managed it well. I mean, the last 2 years, getting 9 wins, 10 wins respectively in each season, while maybe not being one of the top NIL programs in the Big Ten, but still having a good NIL presence, I think speaks to a winning plan. But as a result, you're going to get outbid on some of the top prospects in the state. And for some of them, that NIL money is life-changing and means more. So you still want to build those relationships. We talked about this since the beginning of the NIL era. You still want to build those relationships, because more often than ever, these guys will get recruited a second time. There will be transfers. Guys won't be happy with their situations. They'll realize maybe they got sold a false bill of goods, and they'll look for another opportunity. So you never want to burn any bridges. But you know, for all the way the landscape is right now, I think these guys have done a great job of playing the landscape with what they have. And as they continue to build credibility in the program, continue to have success, I think their NIL profile is going to continue to increase as well.
Yeah, and I think Illinois is willing to invest in state top prep prospects. I think the last class showed that, getting multiple 4-stars, getting some top players. But I do think for Illinois, it doesn't make sense to spend as much on a prep quarterback as it does for a transfer quarterback, not for where their program is at, when Michigan or whatever can throw whatever kind of money they want at them. But you are getting good players that really help your depth. Like, at the end of the day, you're trying to get talented players. And when you have the talent pool you do in state, and Ryan, I think the last couple classes in state have been really good. 2028 looks like it's pretty good as well. Like, there could be 50 guys who go to the Power 4 level. That's not always the case. Sometimes around 25, 30 in this state. So I think they're doing a good job of landing in winning these power four battles that help you get guys like Aiden Loffrey, who's helping you win football games. Mac Resetich this year is going to help you win football games. Your offensive line, Brandon Henderson, was a big addition for them a couple years ago, entering his third year as a starter. Last year, Hank Beatty and Miles Scott. So I know some of these guys are stars on your team. Luke Altmyer, Gabe Backus, obviously were the biggest stars. Pat Bryant's from Florida. He's one of the biggest stars of the last couple of years. But these are guys who are starters for you and stick around and make a big impact on your program. So if you can continue to do well in state, it pays off. Like, and I think we're going to see that over the next couple of years, that even though you go to the transfer portal, you got to recruit from elsewhere, having a big group of in-state players really helps Illinois' program. It's no coincidence, whether it's, you know, Ron Zook or Ron Turner or now Brett Bielema, when you recruit well in state, usually you're succeeding.
Yeah, and one thing I think that's helped kind of turn that back around is we saw this. We talked a little bit about the COVID era. When COVID happened, you saw a lot of the state's top prospects leave the state, go to places like IMG or other prep programs, and those classes really struggled in the state of Illinois. And I think it took probably 4 or 5 years solid before the state's depth and top-end talent really got back to where it was back in like the late 2000s, early 2010s. So not just like the top talent, but you're now getting that depth where you're talking about 35 to 40 power four level or power four potential prospects, with plenty of those still in like that kind of next group of like group of five or group of whatever they're called now, or the, you know, the MAC, A-10, American, all that. So like the depth has improved just as much as anything. But yeah, 2027 has some good top end talent, but 2028 has some ballers. There's some really good top end talent that's getting nationally recruited, and I don't think that's any coincidence. I think it's because a lot of these guys now are staying home because the competition level in Illinois has changed. These guys don't have to go to prep programs like an IMG or a national powerhouse to get noticed anymore.
All right, let's talk about some of these guys Illinois has added. Obviously, when you add prep players, it's usually going to take a couple years for most of them to make an impact. Like this year, I think Nick Hankins is probably going to make an impact on the program right away. Maybe you see a freshman wide receiver or something like that make an impact right away. Most of these guys are down the line. I think we all understand that. But Mason Halliman, Illinois has done pretty well out of Lincoln Way East the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years. Nick Allegretti obviously was a huge player on this program. And then you had Jacob Alexander last year, really good get for them. Versatile defenders, a freshman right now. Now you had his teammate Mason Halliman in the class of 2027. About 6'4", Orion, guard slash tackle, potentially gives you some versatility. You did the film room on him. What do you think about him as a prospect? Obviously pretty highly recruited in the Big Ten, had some SEC offers, and 24/7 Sports has him as a top 15 in-state prospect.
Yeah, I really like him as a guard. I think he's got a lot of good short-range quickness, real good burst right off the snap with a lot of power to complement it. You know, some places have him listed a little bit taller than we have. I think we got him somewhere between like 6'3 and a half or 6'4". One thing I noticed in looking at the roster when I was doing some roster analysis for his commitment, the overall offensive line in Illinois has gotten a lot bigger. There are a lot of guys. I mean, you look across the board, there's very few guys that aren't 6'5 and 300 plus anymore. The difference is, though, most of those guys can move really well at that size. And so they've upgraded the depth. They've gotten some really big, strong guys along the offensive line, which is kind of, we've come full circle on Bielema ball, right? It's not like under Tim Beckman where he was recruiting a bunch of 6'5, 260-pound tight ends and converting them to offensive tackles anymore. Now, they've got a couple guys that have a lot of potential on the roster that were in that case, but they're recruiting some big, strong, powerful guys. You know, with Halliman, I like I said, I like his short-term burst. He's got a lot of strength. He's a road grader. I really like how well he passes off blocks when he, you know, when he gets faced with some complex rushes, when guys are running like twists and stunts on him, he's able to pass off and pick up the next block really well without reaching, grabbing, picking up a holding call. And that's a testament to the fundamentals that we typically see of a Lincoln Way East offensive lineman. You know, that's one of the probably more fundamentally sound programs in the state. You know, this last year he was blocking blindside for Jonas Williams, who was one of the top quarterbacks in the country. And so, you know, he demonstrated well, kept his quarterback clean for the most part. And, you know, they made a pretty deep run into the playoffs as a result of it. So probably future at guard just based on his size, but I think he has a real potential at left guard where that quickness can lend itself to a good fit at that position.
Michigan had offered, Penn State had offered, Tennessee had recently offered, but to go head-to-head and win an offensive line battle against Iowa, that's usually a good thing because Iowa does that pretty well. Iowa also offered Soren Pfeiffer, who Howman, kind of quick, versatile. Soren Pfeiffer is a Bart Miller type of offensive line prospect, 6'7", 300 pounds, and he could probably be 320 right now, has grown massively the last couple years, Ryan, and just an absolute road grader. He's not only big, but he wants to dominate his opponents. So I know he's going up a big level. All of these guys are, but you know, going from Morton to Big Ten football is going to be a big jump for him. This is a guy that had a lot of big-time offers. Oregon and Indiana came in the spring, but Illinois offered first. It's the only official visit he had scheduled, and they closed this one before June even starts. So what do you think Soren Pfeiffer out of Central Illinois brings to the Illini?
Well, the first thing I want to point out, he's only 16 years old, and he's already this size, moves like this, a lot of power. I mean, you put on his tape, and the first few blocks you see is him just running guys over. And he doesn't have the audio of those plays on his tape, but I imagine the whistle sounds a little bit before he puts his guy on the ground. You know, but he's got really good fundamentals for his age. He moves well for his size. He doesn't look like he's how do I want to say this? Not necessarily bigger than his body, but you see that with a lot of young guys that grow really big really early. They kind of move awkwardly. Yeah. He seems like he's very fluid and plays well within his body for his level of development. So I think he can easily carry another 15 to 20 pounds and not lose a lot of that quickness and mobility. I think the key for him, like you said, it's a jump going from playing at Morton to playing at the Big Ten level. The good news is that Illinois offensive line room has a lot more depth now, and so he won't have to play right away. He'll get a chance to develop behind some of these JUCOs and transfers that they've gotten that help provide some additional depth at the tackle positions. Now, I do think he is a pure tackle, whether that's right tackle or left tackle, we'll see. But I do think he has the ability to play both. Given that he likes to run guys over, I could see right tackle being a more natural fit. But I think he has the quickness and has the length to play left tackle if he's charged with that too.
Yeah, I just see him on the right side. I could see him moving him to guard and being a jumbo guard. Just a road grader has got to be what he's going to do. So whenever a guy's that big, you worry about, and this could be any guy that's 6'7", 6'8", like flexibility, mobility, you got to be able to make sure you keep that. But Illinois works that pretty well. But I do think he's got some similarities to Brandon Hanson. Like Hunter Whiteneck was a little bit of a plotter, right? But he was very powerful, and that's why he got on the field at Illinois. I think Brandon Hanson's a little bit more fluid, flexible, and I think Soren Pfeiffer brings that as well. And I think his ceiling is as a starter in the Big Ten. So then they had Sean Rice, get a defender. One of the first front seven defender Illinois has added. I guess it's front six defender Illinois has added with the new defensive staff. He had offers and had official visits set up for programs like Minnesota and Indiana as well, some other Power Four programs, really blown up out of St. Lawrence on the south side of Chicago here. What do you think about Sean Rice and 6'2", 6'3", 220 pounds? Pretty good athlete as well, Ryan.
Yeah, he's got great length, and I think this is a good indicator of what the new type of linebacker in this system is going to look like. You know, they recruited some pretty good ones in the last couple classes. I do still like what Tony Williams brings to the table in due time. Really like Cam Thomas, but Sean Rice seems more like the Grant Bierman type of linebacker, where he's that larger bodied guy who could drop back in coverage, has like a really large radius to be able to disrupt passes over the middle. I think that's one thing that we're going to see, is there's going to be a lot of window dressing in this new scheme, and guys that can drop back as capably as Sean Rice and Grant Bierman can in pass coverage really allows them to use a lot of deception at the snap. one thing that jumped out to me on Rice's tape is he just looks really comfortable in dropping back in, like, you know, 0 to 10 yard pass coverage. He's not afraid to cover tight ends, running backs, has a good feel for where he is in zone coverage, is able to actually track the ball, and he has a couple of picks on his tape where he shows he can actually haul it in. He doesn't have lineman hands, you know, so he's a defender that can actually catch the ball. But I really like his athleticism, his mobility. You know, he's a sound tackler right now. I think with more weight, he'll increase his stopping power. That's probably gonna be a focus for him. But the good news, I mean, he's got that frame that, again, kind of like Pfeiffer, can carry some additional weight probably without losing much of a step. And I think that's gonna be key for him as he prepares himself for college, is to add that additional weight that's gonna help him limit yards after contact against running backs. That's gonna help him improve his tackling power. He'll get more explosive in open space with more quickness and quick twitch. But great pickup. And, you know, you mentioned programs like Minnesota and Indiana coming in there. Kudos to Illinois for shutting this one down, because I think this one came up quick on both of us. Like,
yeah,
I think we expected Illinois to be a player here. I don't know that we expected them to shut it down this fast, but good on them for getting this one shut down. And, you know, 4 for 4 on in-state commits right now, which is again, going back to our earlier discussion about in-state recruiting, the entire class right now, which this is not expected to be a huge class, the entire class so far entirely made out of homegrown talent.
We'll talk about it. There's about 7 or 8 more guys that are, like, really in the thick end in the in-state class. When it comes to Rice, like, he played edge rusher as a sophomore, and then he moved to linebacker this past year, even though he added some strength. But you talked about Bierman. Like, Bierman's 6'5". Like, it is really striking how long he is. Rice isn't quite that tall. He's got a wingspan on him. But we talk about the versatility of linebackers in this defense. I think that's what Sean Rice brings, in that, Ryan, like, it's felt like the last couple of years, or 4 or 5 years, there haven't been a bunch of those guys at Illinois. It feels like there's been some thumpers that struggle a little bit in coverage, or there's some guys who are good in coverage but are a little light when they get in the box. I think they're starting to get some linebackers that can do a little bit of both, with Grant Bierman, Sean Rice, and we'll talk about another linebacker prospect that really intrigues me, who they're going after. But that's what happens when there's going to be way more linebackers on the field, and this position becomes so much more important. You have to have versatility. You have to be able to rush the passer. Sean Rice is very comfortable doing that. You have to be able to cover in space. As you said, what, 4 or 5 picks as a junior, a linebacker in his first year at that position at the varsity level. And then he's willing and comfortable. He's got to add strength for the Big Ten, but to fill those gaps and be a thumper in the run game. So that position intrigues me so much about this next season, because it's the one that changes the most. But you have to add more talent there, and Sean Rice is a nice start for that staff on defense. And Archie McDaniel was the lead here, but Roger Cooper, Bobby Holcomb, I'm interested to see what else they add at that position.
Yeah, I mean, I think what they do with the linebackers this year is going to be really telling. I envision a lot of them trying to kind of flatten out the play, get into the flat a little bit. And those guys that have that larger range, that larger radius, are going to help stretch plays over to the sidelines, allow some of those safeties to come down and make plays, whether it's on the ball in a passing situation or at least rally to a run. Another guy that probably has that same physical mold, Ish Conte. You know, he was a JUCO transfer, doesn't have as many years left, but that kind of tells you, with him moving full time to linebacker, what they're envisioning for that position moving forward, with a guy that's got a little bit more height and a little more range.
Memorial Day is the unofficial start of summer. So how do you kick off the summer season? Sprucing up the backyard, cleaning up the grill, planning quality time in the sunshine. Does summer begin for you once you hear the roar of the grill lighting up for the first time? If so, it's time to bust out the tongs and enjoy USDA certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, and more from Omaha Steaks. The Omaha Steaks Memorial Day sale is going on right now, and you can get 50% off site-wide at omahasteaks.com. Plus, you get an extra $35 off with promo code Illini at checkout. Terms apply, see site for details. But I love Omaha Steaks. They sent me their Burger Perfection Pack here recently. Been grilling up some of their great burgers. I love the sirloin burgers, which not only are really delicious, but also pretty good for you. High in protein, a little lower in the calories. But check out their Burger Perfection Pack for $79.99. But all Omaha Steaks products are great. Some of the tenderest steaks you'll have, but also fish, chicken, pork chops. It's all at omahasteaks.com. And right now, get 50% off site-wide during their Memorial Day sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code Illini at checkout. That's omahasteaks.com with promo code Illini at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details.
Yo, it's Jay Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer, SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting
than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience
with Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
All right, let's talk a little bit more about, like I said, there's seven or eight more guys in state that they feel like they're really in the mix for, and all of them are power four legitimate recruits. So I'll just throw this list at you, Ryan, and you give me a guy or two that really, really intrigues you. Bloomington Central Catholic linebacker Matthew Brady, Geneva wide receiver Bennett Conkey, Belleville East DB James Johnson, York out of Elmhurst, edge rusher Owen Roberts, DB out of Chicago Nazareth, Illinois, still trying to get that first one out of Nazareth, Henry Sakalis, Marquius Woods, he's from Whitney Young, he's going to prep school in New Jersey this next year, Ronald Moore out of Chicago Kenwood, defensive lineman, and TJ Lewis, running back out of Bolingbrook, Illinois, right in the mix for all of those guys. Give me one or two that really intrigue you, Ryan, and why.
So a couple I'll go with. One of them, I mean, I think you got to have at least one trait that sets you apart. Bennett Conkey is a sub 10 500 meter dash guy.
10.25.
Yeah. Like, he is flying. And I mean, that type of speed, it's one thing to have a really good 40 time, but those elite sprinters that can sustain that for that length, those are the guys that you can throw it out 15, 20 yards along the sideline and they're gone. And so, you know, and I don't want to make a bad comparison, this isn't really a comparison, but for reference, one guy was like Deuce Span had sprinter speed. He was a little rough in terms of the technical side of football, but like Geneva's a good program and Conkey has crazy good speed. And like there have been some guys in state that have had really good 100 meter dash times that just weren't good football players. But the fact that a guy can run that fast and has legit receiver size is a great combination.
He's not like some little
steps. Got to love it.
Yeah, he's not some like skinny guy, and it's not like he didn't produce at Geneva, like you said. What do you have? 750 receiving yards, several touchdowns last year, and he's gotten offers over the last month: Wisconsin, Syracuse, Iowa State, Duke. Illinois, though, is his only scheduled official visit so far. So. Always have a need for speed, right? As Maverick would say, and this guy's got it. And 24/7 Sports put him at number 23 in the in-state rankings in a loaded class. So our guys watched his film and thought well enough of him to put him in the top 25, a really good class here.
It's really tough to out-throw 10-2.
<It's>, All right, give it a try, Michael Clayton, in practice. We'll see what happens there. Give me another guy. You got another guy that really intrigues you?
Yeah, there are a couple. I mean, I think you want to talk a little bit about Matthew Brady, so we can get into him in a bit. One guy, since Nazareth tends to be, as the board says, the most ABI program ever.
Anything but Illinois, right?
Yeah, anywhere I was going to say, if you don't know what it means, look it up sometime, or anybody on the board will tell you. But, I mean, he had an excellent, excellent junior year, great state championship game. You know, he's a quintessential edge rusher. I could see him playing either an edge or a linebacker position at Illinois. I mean, he's 6'4.5", 225, according to our site. But he's got great fluidity in space as well. You know, I could see him maybe using him as a little bit of like kind of a, like Illinois used to have the bandit position underneath Vic Koning. And, you know, whether they line him up out there as like a situational rusher or have him in space, I think he can hold his own. But he was a guy who was super productive, had a lot of tackles behind the line of scrimmage, a lot of sacks, really productive player. So I'm gonna have to try and catch a Naz game. Also gonna have to try and catch an Elmhurst York game because I'm pretty much walking distance there now.
There you go.
So gonna go have to go see Robert sometime this fall.
All right, I really like Well, Owen Roberts, yeah, your kid, really interesting, and he'll visit Illinois soon. Matthew Brady's another one. Like, Bennett Conkey and Matthew Brady are, like, the fastest-rising prospects in state, and Illinois has gotten in with both of those guys. Illinois did not offer Brady as quickly as others, but most of the guys that have offered, most of the programs that have offered, Michigan State, Nebraska, some others, offered after he visited Illinois. So Illinois has been recruiting him pretty heavily here in recent months, but Illinois wanted to get Roger Cooper into the school, evaluate him, and then Brett Bielema called him last week with a scholarship offer, and he tweeted today he's taking an official visit to Illinois in June. He's also got officials to Michigan State, Nebraska, and Minnesota. So interesting prospect, Ryan, because he's a quarterback in high school, runs the football a lot for Bloomington Central Catholic, but he's 6'4", 220, and he's got legitimate speed. One of the websites says he runs a 4.5. I don't know if it's that, but it's not far off from 4.6. And at that size, and he plays with physicality, so probably a little bit raw as a linebacker. He's played defense in high school, but he's been more the quarterback growing up. I see what intrigues teams, because this size, this athlete, talk about Grant Bierman, like, this is the kind of player that I think gives you another big, long, athletic, could add 25 pounds to his frame and really be a force for you. So I think the sell to a linebacker like this is pretty high now with this defense, but you don't want a kid from Bloomington Central Catholic going to Michigan State, Nebraska, or Minnesota. So this one really intrigues me, because while the rawness of his game on defense is real, the raw talent is really intriguing. I think he could be a heck of a player.
Yeah, I mean, linebacker is one position where being an athlete is really valuable. Like, instincts are definitely important, and that's something that he'll have to show in time as he develops at that position. But the raw athleticism of his size, being 6'4", 220, probably going to add another 5-10 pounds before this fall, is, as you say, intriguing. Those are traits that make him highly sought after. You know, as somebody who went to a small high school and played and saw a bunch of games at small high schools, at that level, it's get the ball in your best player's hands and let him go to work. And so, you know, if he's running a 4.5, 4.6 at that level, he's probably outrunning a lot of guys. You know, I think there was one year my high school played against Bloomington Central Catholic in the state playoffs, and that's the thing, like, get the ball in the best player's hands. And so, same high school as Josh Brent. There's a throwback name for the mid-2000s, early 2010s.
See Josh almost every year now at the pro day. He's always working the defensive lineman, working for the Cowboys. So,
yeah. But, I mean, Brady's got those intangibles. Again, so the key is just going to be developing his skills. But he's a great piece of clay to mold. And if you get him in the right system and in the right situation, I think he could be even a stud. Now, you're going up against Michigan State, and their new head ball coach has played a little bit of linebacker in his days. So, I think it's going to be a tough battle within the Big Ten, but you know, getting in there and the fact that he has been so reciprocal after the offer, I think, is an encouraging sign for their chances.
One little note I want to get to before we get to the JUCO prospects. I talked with Sladen Shack today, the 3-star quarterback out of Mississippi. Obviously, Illinois lost quarterback Camden Lopati in the class, so they're looking to fill that spot, give some more depth. And Art Sikowski and Barry Loney Jr., I know Art Sikowski saw him during the weekend. They went to see Luke Altmyer for the NFL draft. Art stopped in, was really impressed by his arm, and you know, they offered. They pulled the trigger and offered, and with Dane Weber likely to stay in California, with UCLA and Cal making a big push there, those are the two guys who have Illinois has offered since Lopati decommitted and flipped to Michigan. So Shaq's really intriguing. He's built like Donovan Leary size-wise, about 6'2", 210 pounds. I think he's really fundamentally sound. I think Donovan Leary was sound, but I think his arm strength is a little bit better than that. And everything I hear, like, he moves pretty well. I wouldn't say he's a running quarterback, but he can, you know, make plays with his legs, elude the pocket. But the mechanics are really strong. And everything I've heard is the competitiveness of this guy. Fiery, and it really shows up on the field that this guy's a top competitor. So I don't know if he's ever the guy that becomes the starter, but you had a guy with really good skill, and obviously Art and Barry Loney really, really like him. You add him to the mix of Michael Clayton, Carson Boyd, and see what he can develop into. But I think it's Illinois and a couple of Group of Five programs. So if Illinois wants to push here, Ryan, I think they're sitting pretty well with Sladen Shack, all-name team, potentially in this class.
That's a very Mississippi name if I've ever heard one. But
They're all named they're going to be quarterbacks someday, right? Like,
oh yeah, these are like, you remember Tua-days on MTV? This is like the most Tua-days name. Like,
is that an Angels and Airwaves song on the soundtrack? Like the intro, there was like an Angels and Airwaves song. I think it was The War.
Probably.
Yeah, it was probably. Great.
Yeah, but I mean, regardless of whether he's a future starter or not, you need a guy like that in the room. One, I will say, and I've said this before, they have drastically improved the quarterback room, both from a top-end talent and a depth standpoint. That said, I mean, the portal is always going to be a factor in the quarterback room. It is the single most important position on offense, arguably on the entire team, and so you're always going to need to have a quality player quarterback. But we are finally getting to the point where we're talking about the viability of prep guys they recruited out of the prep ranks and have had in the program starting to work in as quarterbacks. I think Carson Boyd is probably the most viable there. And I like Michael Clayton's arm talent a ton. Yep. You know, he went out and had a great year last year. I think they made it to the semifinals in their class in state playoffs in Florida. But a guy who went out and took another step forward his senior year, has a big arm. And then you talk about Caden Hauser coming in as a quarterback. He's got his 1 year. So at some point, you know, you're hoping that one of your prep prospects goes in and grabs that brass ring. The thought's probably the Boyd's the most likely guy to do it. But you got to keep building that room, build competition. And there's nothing wrong with having a little trash talk, or somebody with a little bit of fire in his belly in there pushing everybody to be better. So, you know, I like the idea of having a guy that can come in there and sling it, both with his arm and with his, and verbally, to come in there and charge up the room a little bit.
And they do need some depth. I mean, right now, Jershon Newton's your fourth quarterback, and I think if he's quarterback, he's just running the ball a lot. So there's a potential of him playing linebacker or running back or whatever, but right now I think he needs to stay at quarterback because they need an emergency option there if all hell goes, you know, happens for Illinois here. So, yeah, they need some more depth there as well. Speaking of depth, Illinois, they've gone heavy in the JUCO market, and with no spring transfer portal recruiting, Joey and I talked about this a little bit last week, Ryan. The JUCO freshmen have kind of emerged here as options for a program like Illinois that's got really good connections. If you have four or five spots left, go find a guy that maybe you thought you could take in December, but bring him in 6 months earlier, give you some depth, give you some guys that could make an impact potentially in the rotation, but maybe even more long-term could be an option for you in the future years. But they have B.J. Thurman, a tight end, 6'4", 230, more of a hybrid flex kind of tight end. Our guys at 24/7 loved him. Gabe Brooks ranked him the number one JUCO tight end in this class. He had offers from Ole Miss and some others, so really intriguing prospect. I think could find some reps this year and is really intriguing long-term. But then they had Joshua Davis, defensive lineman with some quickness. But both these guys, freshmen, so they are coming in a little bit younger than a lot of the JUCO guys. They usually add like a Jaquan Morris, Micah Matalau. Those guys are 20-something years old. TJ Taylor, guys like that. But these guys are younger, maybe some more longer-term upside, but just intriguing additions there, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, with what they've got on the roster right now, they've got some blockers at tight end. I will be really, really interested this fall to see how they end up using Caden Fagan as a tight end, because while I think he'll be asked to block a little bit, I think the goal is get the ball in his hands in space, maybe a little bit different delivery method than when he was a running back, and that gets him ahead of steam, so he's already getting downhill. You got the horse galloping when you get him the ball, right? Yeah. But I like that this guy gives him a little bit of a different dimension. They're going to want to use a lot of 12 and possibly 13 personnel. Maybe this gives you a chance to flex when your tight end's out in the slot. And get him into some mismatches against linebackers. But bigger than that, though, I think one thing that you touched on, and I want to emphasize, the JUCOs they've been getting, like in the past, they just kind of took JUCOs as depth pieces to fill spots. Like, they're getting top.
In the Beckman era, there are a lot of
some bad ones.
Yeah, just flyers. Just like, hey, this guy's 6'5", 250. Let's see if he can play tackle. Or this guy's not really a Big Ten athlete, but we need a body here.
But yeah, like TJ Taylor, number two JUCO tackle in the country. Jaquan Morris, number one JUCO corner in the country. And now you add the guy that has become the number one JUCO tight end in the country. Like, they're getting some
Micah
Maddow,
number one JUCO guard in the country.
Yeah,
right?
Like Illinois is becoming like K-State. Like, Kansas State and Bill Snyder used to have the JUCO recruiting market licked. Like, that was their bread and butter. And, like, Illinois really hasn't gone, like, all in on the JUCO route, but I think this was the right situation to do it. And they filled some needs with some guys that were available, got great fits of those positions, and have been able to, you know, fill some gaps with guys that are multi-year players. And what this is going to do is, if those guys can contribute, it's going to allow some of the prep guys underneath them to develop. And that's important for continuity, for program build, for being a developmental program like they preach to be.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, like, not everyone is going to be Isaiah Adams, right? Like, not everyone's going to – I think Micah Madalow has got the chance to be an all-Big Ten caliber guard who's got a chance at the next level, but not they're not all going to be that. I think Jaquan Morris is going to be a starter this year. But even if you get another Caleb Patterson-level player who can start games for you and be in your two deep, right, somebody that can be in the rotation. Like, Zy Chrysler started for 3 years for Illinois. Was he a perfect player? No. But that really, as you said, Ryan, kind of helped bridge the gap, helped him keep from younger players from having to go before they're ready. So not all these guys are going to be hits, but they have found another avenue to add talent to their roster, and they've made a lot of time and effort into recruiting these JUCO kids. They've kind of understood which JUCO kids can get in their school as well. And let's be honest, it's probably a lot more cost effective than going to the portal and finding some of this depth in the winter.
It's more cost effective and less competitive. I mean, with the way that NIL has got, I saw a stat at, and I don't know if this is directly related, but I saw a stat of, like, the number of D2 and D3 guys that have entered the portal that have basically retired from football because they couldn't find a place to land. And in a way, I wouldn't say it's been completely forgotten, but JUCO recruiting kind of took a back seat, and I think Illinois saw an opportunity to jump in there and land some good guys. You know, there's been a lot of JUCO programs that have struggled to maintain rosters and things like that, but there's always a need for JUCO players out there, and Illinois has found some good ones. They've got some good relationships, some strategic relationships with certain programs, and have been able to find some guys. It seems like they've done really well down in Mississippi. Mm-hmm. You know, they also added Alfred Washington, who's a, you know, top 50 JUCO player in the country, top 5 offensive tackle in the JUCO ranks, and filled those needs. And so I would say where other programs have probably diverted their priorities, Illinois found an opportunity and filled in and have gotten some good players as a result.
All right, Ryan, before I let you go, it's kind of an interesting season with all the change that is happening with Illinois football, both in their coaching staff and on the roster. So just give me your thoughts. Just open up the mic here for you. Like, what are your thoughts going into the 2026 season for Illinois?
I think all eyes are on the defense. I think there's been some turnover to offense. This would be the first time we see somebody other than Luke Altmaier under center in a while, which is going to be an interesting experience. But I like what they brought in Hauser. I think the offense is set up to score a lot of points. You know, there's a lot of turnover on the offensive line too. So to me, that's probably one of the hidden things, that the offensive line is going to have to come together and gel early. They can't afford to gel 2/3 of the way through the season, or else I think you're looking at maybe a mediocre season that they're not going to be fully satisfied with. But that said, I think the schedule sets up really well. Like, they've got all things considered, especially with the way the Big Ten is now, they've got a favorable schedule to go back out there and at least make another solid bowl game. I think if you would probably say 6-6 or 7-5 is not meeting expectations. Anybody inside the room would tell you they're shooting for what they got last year, if not higher. But I think it's gonna be an important spring to get the defense installed. That is highest priority, and get the guys playing together, get communication down. One thing I think on the defense that will be huge, and probably a big reason they tried to bring him back and made such an effort to bring him back, I think Xavier Scott is going to play a huge part, and I mean, like, pivotal part in pulling this defense together. I think he's basically going to be quarterbacking this defense come fall. And that's why it's so important to have a steady hand, a veteran presence back there, to guide this new defense, to get guys in the right position, a guy who, you know, the speed of the game isn't an issue for him.
No.
And he can be back there and help get all of his new teammates lined up, get everybody in the right spot, and be the ball hawk that he is, in a defense that is designed to generate a lot of turnovers from the back end of the defense. So
it's been so long since we've seen Xavier Scott that it feels like we don't talk about him enough now. Because we do talk about Matthew Bailey a lot, because this defense should be great for him. But I think it is for Xavier Scott too. So this is, I don't think Brett Bielema chose this defense for 1 year of Xavier Scott and Matthew Bailey together. But if he did, I think he would have picked this defense, because I think it's great for them. And that's why they prioritized and are spending a lot of money on bringing those guys back, Ryan, because those two positions, the slot and that boundary safety, that strong safety, those guys are everywhere in this defense. So I'm really excited to see what they get out of them this year in that scheme.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to have to generate a lot of turnovers. There was a lot of angst over the offseason about the defensive line and some of the guys they brought in, and it was just an ultra-competitive market for a defensive lineman in the transfer portal this offseason. I think they've got some good guys in-house already. Some of them are just young, but they've got such a great veteran back end of the defense that those guys are going to have to perform well if Illinois is going to be successful on defense this year. I have no doubt the offense is going to score a lot of points. You know, will they score like late 2000s Texas Tech points? I don't know. But like, I think the offense will do enough that they will win a number of games. And as long as the defense can generate some of those turnovers and do what the defense is intended to do, even if they give up some points, they should still be in pretty good shape.
All right, Ryan Easterling, appreciate you. When is the next flight scheduled so we can all have our alerts on?
I'm actually getting on a plane again next Tuesday.
Okay.
So I'm flying to Charlotte.
Mark it down. And we'll see if Charlotte has anything to do with it. I'm trying to think if there's any.
No. Okay. No.
All right.
Ryan, I am getting on a plane next Tuesday and next Friday. So if that is something you track.
The Easterling tracker.
Yeah. I'm just going to put an air tag in my bag and y'all can follow me or something.
Be a little creepy, but yeah. Just let us know when you're
getting. Don't stalk me. Don't.
Get on that flight. Ryan Easterling, you're the goods, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeremy.
Great stuff as always from Ryan Easterling. Appreciate his time. And later this week, we're going to give you guys control of the podcast. We're going to do some mailbag episodes. So we're going to cover topics you guys want to cover. So we're going to do a basketball mailbag podcast with Kyle Toss, the recent Illinois graduate. We'll talk Illini basketball offseason. Anything you want to talk about, send the questions in on Twitter. Find me at jwerner247 and tweet those in. You'll see all of the tweets I put out this morning. We're also going to do a football mailbag as well. Joey Wagner and I later this week will do that as well. So go to my Twitter page, jwerner247. You can comment here below on the YouTube channel as well if you want. We'll try to get to those, but we're just trying to give you guys the chance to ask the questions, the topics. I mean, this could be random, guys. This could be fun. This could be really serious if you have questions about what's going on with this or that. We just want to give you guys the show a little bit as we kind of slow down the year of Illinois athletics. I know Illinois track, kudos to the women for finishing second place at the Big Ten Outdoor Championships, the first time they've done that since 2013. Illinois golf is competing in the NCAA Regional. Wasn't a great first day for them. They got some battling to do to get by and get to the NCAA Championships. So I know there's still some things going on out there, but football offseason, they kind of have the month off right now. It's mostly football recruiting we're focused on. Basketball, just waiting on Andre Stojakovic to kind of see that. But the basketball staff is on the recruiting trail for the high school prospects right now. So it's mostly recruiting going on right now. So we wanted to give you guys the podcast. So send in those mailbag questions. We will get to those later this week. But thank you for listening to this Illini Inquirer podcast. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. If you're watching us on YouTube, hit that like button down below, subscribe to us, and hit that notifications bell. And we appreciate you guys. So until next time, everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. And we'll talk to you next time right here on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Criminal Minds Evolution. Revolution is back on Paramount Plus.
Do you think it's possible to discern some hidden pattern shared by all serial killers?
With a new killer each week.
I see those wheels turning.
When a copycat killer emerges, the BAU will form a dark alliance with a familiar foe.
Elias, would you help us?
This season, evil is contagious.
Once it starts, it can't be stopped.
Criminal Minds Evolution. New season now streaming on Paramount+.